Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Heart Shift Radio and to the High Vibe Tribe podcast. I'm Marcy Newman, your host, known as the Heart Shift Coach, and so excited to be here with you today. I have the most marvelous, interesting guest, and I can already feel that there is so much information that is going to be coming forward. And before I jump in and tell you more about her, I just want to say welcome, Lori Spagna. Welcome to this show and blessing us with your presence.
Oh, Marcy, thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here, and I'm looking forward to our time together.
Yeah, me too. So for our audience, I also want to thank you for being here. And let me just tell you a little bit about Lori and why I really wanted her to give us some time so that she can share, oh my gosh, so many different aspects of consciousness and our ascension process, because we, of course, at this moment in time, need all the help that we can get. And so let me just tell you a little bit about Lori. She's a best-selling author, a spiritual teacher, intuitive energy healer, ascension guide, multidimensional channel, animal communicator, visionary, light worker, and starseed, who radically transformed her life after a series of near-death experiences. And you're going to find this most interesting, an abduction slash induction, which was a first contact experience that Lori had while she was living in Maui. Can't wait to hear more about that. Lori has also helped to transform the lives of thousands of humans and animals around the world via her channeled ascension guidance, intuition, her animal communication, energy healing, and sacred activations. She leads seminars, workshops, and retreats where she provides ascension training, sacred energy healing transmissions, and dormant DNA, sacred key code, and star code marking activations. That was a mouthful. For humans and animals, and assists others to awaken to their alignment with the true divine source which exists within everyone, so that all beings can live their best life ever. Where do we begin? Okay.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. But I'm going to share with our audience first off my own experience with Lori. I have been connected to Lori for quite some time. I was trying to remember just when we came into each other's field, and I can't remember. All I can tell you is that I have been captivated by the work that Lori does. And we have had a number of mergings of fields, you might say, at different times. But anyway, when was this? Maybe about a month ago, I registered for one of Lori's transmissions. And knowing everything that Lori does, I knew that it was going to be a powerful time, but I had no idea really like the extent of it until this happened. So during the transmission and the discussion, Lori was talking about the lambs coming in and she was going to be channeling them. And at the time I'm thinking, what is she saying? I keep hearing her say that word and it's just not registering. And then all of a sudden, she says, okay, it's time. They need to talk. And I got an image of lambs. And I was a bit startled, to tell you the truth, because it was only then that I made the correlation. My God, she's actually talking about channeling lambs. And then I saw a whole succession of visions, some having to do with sacrificial lambs. I saw lambs like in imagery, like at the feet of Jesus. I saw lambs in all of these different pictures, and it was like in that moment that I had the full realization of the frequencies that she so adeptly tunes into. Having said that, Lori, do tell, how did this all start for you?
Well, wow, thanks. First, thanks for sharing that story. I love to hear people's experiences. And, you know, I don't necessarily know. You know, everyone has their own experience.
Yeah.
How did it all start? You know, I want to say my story kind of short and sweet, which is in and of itself a challenge. But, you know, prior to my own sort of awakening, I was living the regular human life, corporate America, six-figure job, hamster wheel life. I felt like a slave. I was trying to adapt. So I was excessively spending, excessively drinking, excessively smoking, excessive pharmaceutical drug use from well-meaning doctors, excessive overweight, body issues, thyroid off, hair falling off, you know, major, you know, issues with my physical health. Nothing was really working. I was six figures in credit card debt and just life wasn't working. I had a divine wake-up call when my brother died of an unexpected drug overdose. And I started making very clear connection with him. Like he was connecting with me from, you know, the death, you know, and he would speak to me. And it took me about a year to work with that, to figure that I wasn't crazy. And that really was, in his language, in his New York accent, yeah, dead brother Jeff. That's the way he would come to me. Mm. And so I started following his guidance and realizing he was like a wake-up call. He was my divine appointment to wake up. And his message was, you have to completely change your ways or you will die, sort of like me. And I see that's what's happening on planet Earth right now, by the way. Mm-hmm. We have to completely change our ways or we will die.
Yep.
And so that was my early awakening. And then so I did. I changed my ways within a year. After that initial, you know, after him crossing over and me making that contact, I changed my career to become a dog trainer. And then I started hearing the animals, the dogs would teach me, talk to me. And they would say, I'm going to teach you. You listen, we'll teach you. So I became their student. And from there, within a year of that, I moved to Maui. That's when I started getting into all the healing arts. I became a Reiki master. I started getting into the Akashic Records. I started getting into Theta healing. And I started getting into all kinds of energy work and practices from ancient Kunlun Mountains that have been secret, you know, for eons of time. And learning how to work with energy. I started learning how to shift my consciousness to stillness, where you can literally have what we would call a near death, not an astral travel for people who might be familiar with that, but literally you can create your own. Not that you have to, that's not necessary. It was happening to me. And then what ultimately happened that was a major transformer, I think, ultimately was I did have what we call, I call it an induction experience, which is basically a teletransport experience onto a starship that basically opened, unlocked all kinds of dormant potential within me that now I continue to unpack and share with humanity. So all of that stuff, and that was like 15 years ago, is the culmination, right? Because at the end of that journey, which is never over, but within 2 years of me getting right from the time my brother died, all those old patterns dropped. Smoking, alcohol, excessive body weight, unhealthy eating, six figures in credit card debt. I mean, the career changed. It all was gone. Caffeine, pharmaceutical drugs, all gone within 2 years. And I think that's kind of the key thing to realize is that when we write our course, when we align our course with our true divine path, everything that's not aligned just drops away. Everything that's not serving us, that's not for our best, our most benevolent best, and everything that is for our most benevolent best just comes right into alignment in a way that we can handle it. And then it just keeps growing and blossoming. So that's what I want the takeaway from that to be for people.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
So do you mind if we jump into your induction?
Yeah, let's anywhere you want to go.
Yeah, I would love to, because I think that, you know, this is something that is really coming more into the forefront. It used to be it was something, you know, somebody knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody kind of a thing. And I think that as we are coming more into our expansive consciousness, we're recognizing that there are many people who have had experiences, and each one is actually quite unique, and yet there are similarities. So I have a personal question, actually, that I want to ask, and that is, at the time of your induction, number one, did you know that you were in the midst of it, or was it in 2020 hindsight?
No,
in other words, dream state,
no.
Or did you know that you were in it?
Yeah, it wasn't a dream state. I was meditating on my back deck in Hawaii. I lived on a golf course at the time, and I saw a ship with my physical eyes in the physical form. Like, I was meditating, but I wasn't like closed eyes the whole time. And I knew it was a ship. And at that time, this is like pre-2012, before, you know, that so-called Mayan shift and, you know, mass awakenings began. So I was looking at it, and I thought at that time that these ships, these star beings, were all benevolent, all kind. That wasn't the case, in fact. But in this case, I just said mentally, because I was already practicing telepathy with animals. I was already developing my psychic gifts in a very extremely accelerated way. So I just telepathically said to the ship, "Oh, wow, if that's really you, if you're really a ship, can you just please help me to know? Can you please, you know, do something to show me?" So it started dropping and elevating, like big drop and elevation, right? So I knew this was a lightship. This was not a satellite. This was not a star. This was a moving lightship in the sky that was responding to my request. I was awake and aware. And the more I did that, I went into this awe and amazement, because I was just in awe. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, you understand. It was dark. And then it was shooting lights out. And I mean, I could see the lights that it was literally shooting lights out, like light bursts. So I was not just meditating. I was not sleeping. I was awake and I was aware, but I was in a very high vibe, high frequency state from the meditation that I was doing. Because my teacher at the time who I was working with, who did these esoteric practices, would teach us to meditate through the night in a waking state. So that's what I was practicing. In any case, once I realized it was real, innocently, naively, I said, "Is there anything that I can do to help? Please let me know." Because I thought that they were here to help humanity awaken, which indeed was the case in this particular case. So I just kept meditating. I was in and out of waking meditation, eyes open, eyes closed. I was this is the best way I can explain it in human language, is I was energetically like a plasma-like state. My body vehicle was transformed. I was in enough of a high, pure frequency from the work I had been doing that somehow I could handle that. I don't know how they did that. That's not anything in my conscious knowing. But I was teletransported onto this ship. In that experience, I don't have full memory of it, but I have full memory of waking up on this ship, like not waking up, but suddenly being conscious, present, realizing, and being in such an altered state that there was no wrongness, there was no fear, there was no worry. I was just there. And there was a lot of things going on and people interacting with me, some of whom I thought I recognized, but most of whom I did not. And okay, well, we could talk about this for a long time, but I think I've answered your question. That's where it started. That's how it was. And I was on there, to my knowledge, for a whole night. Mm-hmm. And a lot was unpacked, opened. The next morning, after I was teletransported back, I was teletransported back into my room, my bedroom, the next morning, and I was in a very woozy state. So I knew that I was in my room again. And the next morning when I did wake up, I was in a state of shock. I was shocked almost. I did not fully comprehend what happened. I was quite actually frustrated, actually, because I was like, what the, you know, like, and I knew that I didn't know who I could talk to. And I was living in Maui. I was all alone. I didn't have a lot of friends there at that time. So it took me 2 more years just to begin to unpack and unravel it, and make sense of it. Does that make sense?
Sure, it does. So I have to ask you, and I'll tell you why in a second, but so were you aware of any implants that were placed in you?
Oh, yes. Okay. I absolutely was.
Okay.
I absolutely was. And that was not 2020. That was not, it was, that was the very next morning. That was part of what I was actually quite angry, because I knew they put an implant in my wrist and I was in such an altered state at the time. I was in such an altered state that everything was so peaceful and benevolent. And I remember very clearly there was a woman. I went on, I had free movement of the ship, on the ship. I went into a stadium-like room, and I asked them what goes on in here. And they said, this is where our children go. Do you want to go in? And I said, no. And she said, good, that's good. Now, in unpacking this part, I can say is retrograde, in retrospect, I now understand the reason it was good was because the version of me that was the child, the star being, came from there, that space, and was not meant to go back in. So she was glad that I did not identify as that was my home. She was glad that I didn't perceive myself to want to go back in there. But that was in delayed unpacking. In that moment, she said, good, can we just put a chip in you? She didn't, I don't even think she called it a chip. That was your word. She said, do you mind if we put this into you? Or maybe you didn't use the word chip. You might have used implant.
I used implant,
She did take a piece and she asked me my permission and she asked me for my wrist. I presented my wrist and she put that in. Now, the reason I know that was real time too is because when I woke up the next day, this was my big thing. I was so angry because I felt it. I felt it in my wrist. Mm-hmm. And now in the aftermath, I was like, I don't know what it was. She didn't explain it to me. What did I say yes to? How am I going to get this thing out of me? Like, I was very frustrated and, yes, kind of angry.
The reason I asked is because I actually used to do implant extraction or exploration with my clients. And it was amazing to me how many implants that we would find and how we would be able to pinpoint their exact location and how each individual knew whether or not they wanted it extracted or not. Like it was like each one was contributable to certain gifts, certain abilities, and it was very clear to them. And I would ask them during these processes, is it active? They would know immediately, yes, it's active, or no, it's not active at the moment. Are there plans to activate it in the future? Yes. There are.
Yeah.
No, there are not. You know, all of these things. And it was the most mind-boggling experience for me to be able to, you know, give feedback in terms of this information to people when they came back into their full, you know, consciousness. And I would record it all. And, you know, it was the most remarkable thing. And so I have to ask you.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating. So even though you might not have remembered certain things, that memory is there. You were perfectly conscious during it all. And there are some things that we remember in our conscious mind and some things, obviously, that are subconscious memories. Do you have an implant that's active at this moment or inactive? Did you have it removed? Tell us that part.
To my knowledge, I've had it all removed. The thing is that what I came to realize, and again, this is over at least a minimum of a 2-year span, and many years even since. I mean, like even as recent, within the last year, I'm always inquiring more from to learn and unpack more about that whole experience and the effects of the aftermath and the reason for it, is that, you see, the ascension process on Earth. Okay, I don't know if I'm making too big of a jump in our conversation at
No,
the
you
moment,
just
but
keep going.
the whole point was that humanity had lost its way. Humanity, and if you look at what's going on in the collective, what's going on in the collective is the inhumane treatment that humanity has treated itself with.
Yes.
The inhumane treatment of humanity by humanity. And so it became very clear in the extraterrestrial or galactic civilizations, and it was for, this is like, you can't place it in linear time. It's just part of the divine plan that there was going to need to be off-planet assistance. That was just going to be an inevitable part of what was going to be required to recover humanity, to so-called save humanity from itself. So that's the higher purpose behind the implants. Now, what you had in the old paradigm when humanity, prior to 2012, and prior to what I call the Starseed generation coming online, which is what these many of these benevolent implants were are about, you had abduction experiences that were not benevolent, that
Yes.
were against free will. And that stuff's not happening anymore. No longer is it permitted to happen because, to my knowledge, they've all been cleared out of our galaxy. Unless someone's still playing on a lower, what we call a lower timeline, a lower frequency bandwidth, a lower energetic, where they haven't resolved that issue, they could still be creating it, miscreating it, recreating it so they can resolve it. That's what happens on the lower frequency bandwidth. But on these frequency bandwidths where we're communicating here now, and anyone who's tuning in and is would be interested in this and participating, there's no more malevolent beings. So the implants that are of the starseeds are beings, first generation starseeds like myself and many of the people you're referring to,
Yeah,
are ones who
myself
took on
included.
implants, yes, who took on implants from the benevolence, who knew that they had to share their consciousness, but they had to implant it in a human free will being who would do with it what it was meant to do, to serve the greater good, to always be in service and contribution to the evolution of humanity. So now I understand that's what it was. That's what it's all about. And that's why we all have different, depending on who different star seeds were implanted, or we don't necessarily all implant. Because I know a huge part of what they did for me was just activate DNA. That was a huge part of it.
Right.
So my implantation device was more of a tracking device to see what I might need to support me, to help me, not necessarily to turn things on or turn things off. That what was given to me was DNA related. They activated so much of my dormant DNA that would trigger opportunity for me to share that with others and then continue to uncode and decode what's lying dormant in the human collective, what's available for the human collective that they would never know about. The human collective would never be able to know about this if it wasn't for these benevolent star family races. So that's how my implant was serving. But I understand different star family races have different gifts that they give to their star seed offspring, so to speak, or
Yeah.
their star seed family
Children.
connection. Yes, children. And so, I'm not an expert on implants, although I do know how to clear them and I do know how to resolve them. And I could easily work with someone if that's where they wanted to go, because that's something I could easily do. It's just not what the focus of my work. The focus of my work has been ascension related to more directly shift the collective and elevate the collective.
So
Make sense?
I guess I have to ask, and again, as you said, you're not an implant specialist, but Do you think that what we are seeing in terms of the acceleration in the ascension process as a mass in humanity, and I know for some people they're going to say, you're crazy, look at all the chaos in the world, but there truly is an acceleration of a mass. And do you think it is having to do with activations of implants that were dormant, activations of DNA strands, like a
100%.
mass awakening?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing too.
Without question in my mind. Because for me, I know, first of all, it's part of the cosmic plan. So let's, the bigger picture here is there's a cosmic plan that is really happening, and that was always the plan. And that cosmic plan is the awakening, remembering, reunification of divine source consciousness, each in each and every willing individual. And in the whole of Mother Earth Gaia, in all the realms and kingdoms, nature, animal, plant, mineral, etc., crystal, crystalline, the whole without limitation, galactic, universal, etc. So that is the big picture. That is what's happening. But on the sort of substrata of it, the lower frequencies or the frequencies that go in there, why is it happening? Well, because yes, we have activated our DNA, and there were enough star beings, star children, star seeds, and other forms of indigo family tribes. Because you understand, star seeds are one sort of subgroup within what we call the indigo family tribes, the indigo family races, who are here really leading, so to speak, the ground crew on Earth in the global shift, the global transformation. So to say that it's just the DNA, that it's the DNA is a piece of the puzzle. Activating the DNA, when I do the activate, and those implants were a piece of the whole puzzle in the cosmic plan. But like for me, when I do DNA activations, what I'm basically doing in a sense, and anyone who's participated, we go through the bloodlines, we go through the DNA of the ancestors, we go through the lineages. Well, that's affecting the whole of humanity.
That's
Of
right.
course it is. And that's why I know, like when you were reading my bio, there was a voice in my head that I heard that, wow, that bio says you've helped thousands of humans and animals, and it should say you've helped more than 8 billion.
Of course.
Because I am 100% certain, and this sounds like, I feel like you're so open, Marcy. You're so in receivership of this. I don't have to tailor this. Like, I'm so
No,
grateful
please
for the
don't.
way, the way you're so aligned. But we know that when we get to these really high, clear, pure frequencies, and we are so unified with the divine, and when we get such a huge group of people on like a call together, which I do for the DNA activations, I could easily, I have hundreds of people on the, I mean, hundreds of people on these calls who also have their animal companions in their consciousness and even their children under the age of 17. We know our collective is large enough to do the work for the whole of humanity. The way we do it, the way I do it, is I'm also always working with the universal laws, which are laws of quantum physics and are also laws of God, God's laws. They both agree. They all agree. We never break the law. We can only do what these laws will allow. But because we're working with those laws, if we're all lined up and everyone's in agreement, we're changing the collective
That's right.
massively in a global way. And it's just incredible.
Yeah.
So yes, that's my answer to your question.
Yeah.
Short
I mean,
answer, yes.
and it seems like it happened in the blink of an eye, but I can tell you, so my work in this started back in the 70s, and I was ordained as a spiritualist minister in 74. So I was trained in hands-on healing, mediumship, channeling, and the leader of our church was actually a trance medium. And so at the same time, I graduated as a registered nurse. And I just literally watched the universe put every stepping stone in front of my feet. And was very much aware of this whole expansiveness. I mean, when I was back in my training, the only people I could speak to about this were the other people in my ordination program or the mm-hmm. other ministers at Lilydale. And that was our community. And now, I mean, you can't go into a grocery store without somehow having a conversation that's cosmically oriented. Everybody mm-hmm. has some awareness. It might not be, you know, an awareness of their own ascension, but certainly an awareness that there is something greater at hand. And so what I love so much about your work is how expansive it is in terms of being interdimensional as well. So I love the way you are traversing these energy frequencies and connecting with the beings of each frequency. And this is what I want to get across to our audience, that this is possible, that there is a language that once you tune into it and align with it, there is nothing off limits to you. We can communicate to the whole because we are the whole. We are one. We are completely unified. And the work that you do, and again, I have to go back to my own personal experience, where when you started to channel the lambs, I felt every cell in my body shift into another frequency, and the softness of it, the sweetness of it, and yet the presence of its strength was palpable. So when you're channeling, for instance, with the galactic, right, and our galactic family, how, if you can explain to our audience, like, how do you recognize vibrationally the different frequencies? In other words, like, you knew the lambs wanted to come in and speak. Do you see? Do you hear? Do you feel? Tell us. Tell us how you traverse.
Yeah. Well, let me say, the first thing is that when I first started coming online, like, really in early in Maui, I remember a lot of beings would come in and a lot of beings would sort of request interaction. And there were many who would say, let us speak for you. And for the first, like, 12 years or, you know, 10 to 12 years, I remember just like, no, you can't come in my body. No. And I wouldn't allow it. About maybe somewhere in the middle of that period of time, there was this being that would come to me and he would just show up. And he would show up as like a bright, beautiful yellow orb light. And whenever he would show up, it was a masculine energy. And he would say, I am Bartholomew. Mm. He would just come. He would radiate light. He'd hang out a while, float around. I'd be able to literally see the orb, like eyes open. And inner mind too, of course. And I would feel always this beautiful energy when he came, and I could start to identify this energy. And then Bartholomew would disappear. And again, as it's been part of my path, I would get frustrated. I'd be like, what's the point of coming if you're not going to tell me why you're here? Like, what is the point? This was part of my learning, right? I would get frustrated. But this is very common when you're self-teaching, you're self-learning. So, because you don't have someone there to spoon feed it to you. But what I learned was that Bartholomew's job was simply to teach me about vibrational discernment. There was nothing else that he was there for. He would come, I would recognize his vibration, and he would leave. And that is the foundation of how I learned channeling, to tell you the truth, because I started to realize I could discern the difference between different beings. And I, of course, I was always doing animal communication. I was already doing psychic development. So that just became part of my practice, learning to discern the difference between different vibration, different voice, because I could hear, different image, because I could see. So when you ask which is it, it's all of them. I definitely am using all my sentience. I can see. I'm extremely clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. multiple aspects of different forms of empathic energetic vibration. I can feel, flow, sense, you know. So that's where it developed over years before I ever allowed direct channel. And it wasn't until I got so advanced in my practice and I got so confident who I was talking to, who was showing up, what their purpose was. Then I'd be like, if something came in that I didn't identify, I'd say, and I teach this in all my classes, all my workshops, who are you? What's your name? State your purpose. How do you identify? State your purpose. And if they were of malevolence, I would see and notice how they, boom, gone. The moment you call them on it, if they're not benevolent, if they're not there to serve, they disappear. And that was just something I also learned in the process. So they would identify, you know, I'd have Mother Mary. I'd have all these ascended masters. I'd have, you know, these incredible beings. And they'd say, here's who we are. And then more and more, of course, it was star family races too. Where are the Palladians? Where are the Syrians? Where are the Lyrians? So they would state who they were and they'd state their purpose. Here's what we want to share. Here's what we want to teach. Here's what we want to do. And so then I just started with I just started letting them in. It was faster and easier mm-hmm. for me rather than translation. I still do translation. It just depends on how our connection is and what the flow is. But that's long answer.
Wonderful that, answer. That makes sense. No, yeah. Of course it does. Yeah. Tell me something. Do you ever hear it in light language or do you hear it in associated imagery, words, etc.?
Yeah, that's a very cool question. It can come in any way. Okay. Sometimes it is, especially from the animal, sometimes it's just like a brain dump. Mm-hmm. They'll just sort of dump the information in and then I have to translate it. But if it's a direct channel, it's not a brain dump. You know, it just depends.
Right.
Sometimes it comes in like light language and I'll say like, okay, I'm not understanding, explain it better. Or clarify, or I don't do as much light language. Usually the light language that comes through me is more of a clearing, just to move energy really fast. Mm-hmm, although mm-hmm. I play with light language and definitely with the Palladians, a lot of times they'll sing through me or speak through me. I don't mm-hmm. do that as much publicly, but it just can come in any way. However is the most effective, most sort of efficient, way for them or the beings or me to receive it or for it to be translated and communicated is how it comes in. Whatever way can be, I'm just an open vehicle in that sense. And because I have developed that discernment and also because of the vibrational bandwidth that I'm working on, and also because of the intentions that we set from the get-go, which are always only that, which is for the most benevolent best, only that which serves the greater good of all with harm to none, only that which is 100% positive uplifting. I mean, those are my intentions on every call. Everyone hears me say that.
Right.
So, and we all agree. So we make this sacred covenant together in that sense, that sacred pact together, that it's only that. So because of that, I can be a very open channel and I can allow what's meant to come through. And because we're at such a high frequency of vibration, we know it's nothing ever malevolent. So in that case, it's whatever is the most effective, right? Make mm-hmm. sense?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
And I just love it. I mean, I think what's really also really valuable to say, and I know that you know this, and I know that our community, the people who are listening get this, but it's always worth saying, it's like, I just love it so much. I love everything I do with my work. I love the esoteric practices. I love learning. I love sharing it. I love teaching it. I love helping others. I love being part of the solution on earth because all of that is so infused with my true, real desire to serve and contribute and to help and my sincere desire to not be, it's not about me. It's about the divine cosmic plan and the mission and the love that I have for it and the joy that I have in sharing it. It just keeps growing. That's why there's such a long resume. That's why it could go more of a resume, because what we do that we love, what we give away in joy without attachment, without desire to like get something from it is just always amplified. It's inevitable. We get more, we get more, we get more because we love it, because we give it, because we share it. You know, that's true for everyone.
Yeah. And I think what I've always felt from you is that whatever it is that you are directing in terms of allowing to flow through you, that it is filled with such unconditional love. It's never in this, you know, you must accept this sort of way. You just offer it. You just offer the information, and those who it resonates with, excuse me, you know, are going to connect with it. And it's also what keeps, you know, the vibrational frequency elevating, because I felt that too during, you know, that transmission. I could feel us traversing the almost like the striation of energy fields. And so I think that people, as far out as your work is, I think that people feel safe because of that. And if somebody feels safe, they can allow themselves to open and to accept more and more and more that's considered very expansive consciousness.
Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that. I want to tell you, I never think of my work as that far out. And I know it is. I know. I get reminded it is. But I just think it's just the realness of the reality that I live in. For me, it just is real. And I'm so grateful that you said I don't, push on anybody or like tell them they have to see it this way. Because what I realize is that, sometimes people do get triggered by this stuff. They do, you know, does push up against what I call our frequency fences. Our frequency fences are those bandwidths of energy that basically, in order for us as individuals to up-level, we have to move through a frequency fence, which could be seen as a barrier.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's the energetic that up-levels us to the next highest harmonic, the next highest resonance that we can raise our vibration to. We have to overcome our own frequency barriers, our own frequency fences. And that will show up in some form of resistance or judgment or trigger or, you know, oh, that's being forced on me, or, you know, or we'll get irritated or aggravated or alienated or something. And we as individuals have to overcome that or resolve it within ourselves. So I know that it does that, but it's because for me, I'm just so in love with this kind of expansion that I'm always overcoming my own frequency fences. And then when I'm in my new resonance, it's just real.
Yeah.
So I don't see it as so far out there. I just see it. This is real. And the more we realize this stuff, the more our lives improve. That's the most important thing to get out of the whole thing. It's like, why do you want to do this? Well, because your life improves, because you start walking around Earth and you realize like, it's not arrogance. You really are immune to viruses.
Yeah.
It's not a false illusion. You really realize that so-called people who are maybe taking away your money can't hurt you. It's not arrogance when you say, that doesn't apply to me. And someone says, but it applies to the whole world. And you're like, no, I know that that's your perspective, but I'm living in a different paradigm of reality.
Yeah.
Like when somebody said, you have to wear a mask, they don't understand. You're living in a paradigm and a reality where you don't have to wear a mask.
Right.
And actually, in your paradigm and reality, it is not necessary and not required. They don't understand if they say something like, there is a quarantine, you have to do this. They don't understand. Like, no, your life would improve if you would be willing to open up to this, because that's not going on in my reality.
Yeah. And I always tell people, because I agree, you know, when we're of the frequency where it doesn't exist, it doesn't exist. Things can only exist in the frequency that we're in. But
exactly.
I remind people also, if they have fear about not being in a frequency of immunity, wear a mask, do whatever you need to do in order to feel safe, because it's all about feeling safe, because that will create your reality.
You have to do what feels good and right to you.
That's right.
Sometimes safety isn't even necessarily what feels good and right to you. Sometimes what feels good and right to you in the moment is, I know I can do this and it feels a little scary, but I'm going to take the risk. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about a life or death risk. I'm talking about like maybe
any kind of risk.
Maybe it's going on a retreat somewhere. Yeah. Maybe it's getting on, going, doing something. It's not always about safety. It sometimes really does require us to push our comfort zone, push ourselves beyond safety, what we perceive to be safety. So it's what feels right and appropriate to you and expansive, inspirational, uplifting, elevating, inspiring, empowering. Those are the things you want to be reaching for. And sometimes it is safety, especially regarding a mask. This feels right to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And if that means wearing a mask in that example, I totally 100% agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think also there's something very empowering about that, and that is to remind people to tune in and find for themselves their safety zone in that moment and take actions that are according to that. That is so essential, and it's essential in every dimension of our living. We must be in alignment, both action, heart, and mind, in order to be in a state of well-being. So it's a wonderful opportunity for everyone to practice that. That's for sure. But I wanted to bring up, go ahead. What did you want to say about that?
Well, the other thing, just to dovetail on what we were just talking about, is one of the most important things that happens as we up-level our consciousness, elevate our frequency, and we basically vibrationally attune to new paradigms of reality. That's what happens. We vibrationally shift to a new reality every time we do that. And it doesn't necessarily, we don't necessarily realize on a conscious way that's happening, although we might. What happens is that we all must become more fully self-governing. This is very important.
Sovereign.
In the higher, sovereign. In the higher realms, we are self-governing. We no longer believe or consent to giving our power away to an external authority. Typically, the external authorities that we see right now in the world are external authorities that typically are operating to the benefit of the few and the harm of the many, with deliberate intention to harm. That's the old paradigm.
And Gaia.
And so, and Gaia. So we must reclaim our sovereignty and our self-governance to govern within, and to live by universal standard of I will do my best to do no harm to myself or anyone. If that does mean wearing a mask to you, then that's what you should do. Mm-hmm. If you feel that doing your best to do no harm to yourself or anyone is not wearing a mask as a demonstration of freedom, liberation, or whatever your truth is, then that should be. But the most important thing is that self-sovereignty, that self-governance, to recognize that you're doing your sovereign right to live without harm to yourself or anyone else, and to align with the higher, highest, purest, clearest frequencies and vibrations that you possibly can.
Yeah.
And that has to be the governance now. And one other thing on this I want to say, when we're talking about paradigms and realities and what's true for one is not true for another, one of the things that the angels, the angelic realm, taught me, which I'm so grateful for, is that the angelic realm and that whole realm of angels, angel gods, there's a sort of a hierarchy there, but it's a different type of hierarchy. It's more like just categories of different, you know, realms of how they exist and how they relate. They often whisper in our ears, we know we have angels, they give us guidance, they help us, and they offer leadership and guidance and support and healing and all kinds of things. They're in our reality, but they're not in our reality. They're in our paradigm, but they're not in our paradigm. And they are not subject to the same laws of the physical world. And yet we don't question, they can't get a virus.
Right.
But we think because all physical people are in the same world, that we're all subject to the same rules. No. See, the angels taught me this. They said, Lori, you, as a star seed, and most who are of the highest, clearest, purest frequencies like you, which are not that many on the whole of the 8 billion physical beings, but those of you who are in the star seed and the indigo family tribes who are of the highest frequencies are like us. You are able to whisper into the ears of another human, but you are not at their same density, just like we are not of your same density. And we are not subject to the exact same laws, although we are overall subject to the same laws of the spiritual higher realms. Same is true for you. So you're not subject anymore to the same laws of the physical world. Newtonian physics, for Newtonian science, for example. You've moved beyond that. But you still have to respect and honor it. You still have to respect and honor it. So the angels taught me this. This is how I understand this. So if you can understand that an angel, for example, we'll use the COVID example since it's relevant in this moment, is not going to get COVID. And you understand that you're at a different frequency than a human who's still buying into that fear-based paradigm and giving their power and consent to an external authority, a hierarchical, patriarchal system that is not only fear-based, but literally seeking to cause harm on the masses with intention to cause harm. We call that crimes against humanity. If you understand that you're not in that frequency bandwidth, even though just like an angel, you can see into it, you can peer into it, you can interact with it, you can start to realize you don't have to be subject to it. But it is vibrational bandwidth based.
So do you think that that's the key for the new earth that we are being called for?
Well, I think it's the key to navigating your way to the higher realm.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, and navigating your way out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, fear is the worst kind of webbing, spider webbing entanglement. And that's part of like the healing journey is, you know, when I'm doing healing, I'm always like clearing and disentangling and removing programs and implants that are non-beneficial that are of that old paradigm. So, yeah, I think that's the way to navigate out of that fear-based reality where you really are constantly being bombarded with this, you know, BS. And from my perspective, the most toxic thing on the earth right now is what I call the mainstream media.
Oh, for sure.
That's the most toxic thing on the earth. And that is all mass media.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't matter if they call themselves, you know, a neutral media. If they're of the old paradigm, if they were born and existed through the old paradigm, if they're not self-governed media, in other words, a single sovereign speaking, like you and I, we are single sovereign speaking here right now, then it's mainstream media. And that is, to me, the most toxic thing on the face of the planet right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So it brought to mind, I wanted to share a moment of delight that I had as a gift from you, speaking of media on Facebook. And that was when you were talking about going into a cove. You're down in Arkansas, going into a cove.
Yeah.
And the mermaids and, you know, the whole description that you had. I burst out, like, into the biggest smile and laugh and said, I would love to be a fly on the wall. And be in the room as every person is reading this. And it brought back for me this incredible memory I had when I was doing my past life regression certification course with Brian Weiss. And we were doing group regressions. And I had an experience where I was a mermaid. And when I came out of the session, I couldn't move. It was like I was frozen in this confusion about, like, how could I be a mermaid and this and that? And I, you know, with the prompting from my group, I finally stood up and started to talk about it. And the entire room broke out into applause, number one. They just were thrilled to death that I was sharing this. And then, Lori, one by one, other people stood up. There was a physician from Italy who described his session where he saw himself as a dinosaur. This one was, between lives. This one, I mean, it was just incredible. And it's all about giving ourselves permission to have the curiosity about what exists in these other dimensional frequencies and these other fields. And I loved that you shared it. Loved it.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. I also love Brian Weiss, love his work, and I mean, I know you, way before we knew each other, and I love your work too. So, thank you so much for everything you've done, and also what you've shared there, because like that is so true. When I started on the ascension path, my own personal ascension journey, and my spiritual path was opening up. I wasn't as into the whole like dragons and fairies and mermaids. I do feel also that I had a past parallel lifetime as a mermaid, by the way.
Oh,
But I
fabulous.
don't, yeah, but I just wasn't as into that in a sort of my public teaching way as much because I felt like my guidance was clear that I was meant to be very grounded to really help people. So that they wouldn't just keep characterize me as the woo-woo, because that was like what we were meant to shift out of. It's
That's
not
right.
woo-woo.
That's right.
So I typically like avoided that stuff, but I've been in Arkansas for the past couple of months swimming in the lake here that's on the crystal bed. I do host a retreat in September, which is like literally practically sold out right now. We're trying to get more housing for people because we have a wait list, but we have these crystals here that are, and I've learned so much from them over the years. That's such a huge part of what I do and how I've activated and incredible like crystal portals and light portals and ships over here that are just working with the crystal beds here. Anyway, we were on the lake and we went to this area called Mermaid Cove, and we just sat there and just started coming in like these mermaids and these Loch Ness type creatures of the inner water and all these mystical beings. And basically what they were saying was, we come through this portal here and our over our desire, I mean, it's a long channel, but it was fabulous. I was with someone on the boat. We were working, and it just came through. But they were saying how their desire is to assist humans to create more of the, our dreams fulfilled on Earth. And so now they're interacting with us more directly because they are of a different realm, but because there's so much more unification now and we've all elevated into these higher realms, they can interact with us more directly now. And they're here to help us to create our magical, mystical dreams come true because they have, from that mystical realm, they have that ability. That's what they do. They create miracles and, magical, mystical things.
Magical.
So it was really fun. And it's amazing how we can interact with them very directly. And that's what they're, at least through that channeling, that's a lot of what they're desiring for us, to play with us more.
Well, I was applauding you for bringing it out into the public and sharing your experience and giving me that moment of sheer delight and experiencing that freedom once again, standing up and just claiming, yeah, I was a mermaid. Saw it all, saw the whole thing.
Very cool.
Yeah,
Very cool.
fantastic. So thank you. And I'm so sorry that we're out of time. I think we could talk forever. But
Yes, for sure.
what can you share with our audience? Just some last words of, I don't know. Whatever you have.
One thing I would love to give them some free gifts if I could. Would that be all right?
Yeah, well, we're going to have all those links right here, right
Okay.
below your interview. But certainly if you want to, just tell people about that, you
Yeah,
go right
just
ahead.
for people, who want to learn more about the crystals and working with the crystals, they can go to my website and get some free gifts there. It's lorispana.com/free-gifts/crystals. They'll learn about working and healing with the crystals and why the crystals are important, especially with our DNA and what crystals to get and how to clean them and use them and stuff. And if they want to sample a DNA activation, they can get a gifted DNA activation. It's generic, but it's still, mm-hmm. It's effective and good. And plus a whole class on the DNA, why we do it, what it's good for. And that's at lorispana.com/free-gifts/DNA. And if they're animal lovers and they want to learn more about animal communication, telepathy, healing with their animals, they can go to lorispana.com/free-gifts/animals. And I mean, just the final parting words, I just want to say, just remember the end game. We're going through a transformation now. We're extending it as long as we can so as many humans can wake up and elevate to the higher realms. That's what we're witnessing right now. It's challenging to not get entangled with the drama going on in the physical world, but that's part of the mastery of the year. And just to remember where we are headed, where we will inevitably end up, is just divine unification. And we still get to keep our physical bodies, our physical lives. Our whole world is going to so dramatically improve. It's just a major clearing process right now of the old toxicities and the old paradigm and the old systems and structures. And so if we can hold that in our hearts and our knowing, it is a promise. And it is sort of like a guaranteed type of promise. But we have to actively participate in elevating ourselves into that paradigm. And that is where we are all going for that's those of us choosing it. So, yeah, that's where I just like to leave people. Yeah. Other than that, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. And it's been such a joy and pleasure. And again, my honor. And also, for those, Lori, who are listening and may not see the interview page, just spell your name for them, please.
Oh, thanks. Yes, it's LORISP as in Peter, AGN as in Nancy A. LORISPAGNA. LoriSpania.com. That's my site. Yes.
Fantastic. And there is so much information there. Just go and have a wonderful time. So again, thank you, and thank you to all
thank
of our
you,
listeners.
Marcy.
Yeah,
thank
my
you so
real
much for
pleasure.
Having me.
Oh,
thank
Lori, you. I'm giving you the biggest hug right now.
And right back at you.
Yeah, thank
way.
You.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, thank you for being here, giving us your very precious time and attention. And until next time, I, of course, am your Heart Shift coach, Marcy Newman, and I look forward to hearing your comments and questions about this fantastic time that we've had with Lori. So thank you so much, and so many blessings to you all. Thank you. Bye-bye now.